Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the My Lowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
I think he should be talent-wise in that group. Those teams all have offenses that are kind of built around that running back. Walker can be. It's just, are they going to do that for him this year? I think it's the smartest thing they could do. So Ken Walker is my guy. I'm dying on the hill. Number one Ken Walker fan right here.
And this is the one that kind of deserved all that context that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because the problem you do have here is he is RB16. So it's like, calling RB16 a league winner is tough, but from your perspective, it is because he is going to overperform. Like, in your mind, do you think like he's going to overperform like Kyren Williams? Because I kind of think you kind of have to say, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm glad you did. Because like, if you don't, then it's like, well, you can't be running back 16. And then you're like, well, but I think it'll be like running back 11. Like, if you
I think he's an RB1. Winner, like I said, I think he's going to be in that top group, like the top eight for sure. I think so I haven't ranked at 10 just because we haven't seen him be put in that position yet. And we don't know what the Seattle offense is going to look like. Maybe they are going to pass the ball a bunch because that's what Grubb did at Washington, but he built that around the skill of those players. I think if you're building around the skill of the players in Seattle, Ken Walker's the best player. So I would build it around him.
My number one running back, I'm living a little bit deeper down the line here. Both of my running backs, they have some questions. They actually have a more goal line presence that's in front of them. But in my determination of like where league wins really are going to come from, I look at running backs that are outside the top 30. And specifically, this guy is outside the top 40 right now. It's hard to not see a scenario where Rico Dowdle becomes the number one guy in Dallas. Now, obviously bringing Ezekiel Elliott in, who, by the way, Elliott has a higher ADP, definitely puts in questions because he's known in the offense. Dak knows him. But I think also what's becoming more apparent is he can't take the big workloads. And you've also seen teams like, I guess Miami altered it a little bit, but the Niners used to do this with Raheem Mostert and Miami doing it. If you can put these guys into lower, I guess it's like lower leverage situations where defenses are tired, you bring them in fresher legs, you don't give them. It's kind of like what's happening with Austin Eckler, maybe even what happens with Tony Pollard. And I think it's what happened with Ezekiel Elliott, where Dowdle is going to most likely be the top two down back, and then you're going to have Elliott come in third downs. They may share, you may have some series sharing that happens as well. But at RB 44, Rico Dowdle has a real, real opportunity to be another version of Tony Pollard in this offense too, because if you're going to have fresh legs on both of these guys, Dowdle is more explosive. I don't think they're going to take him completely out of red zone situations. It's a high-end explosive offense. And I think the biggest question is people not believing the repeatability of like with how Tony Pollard failed last year, but not believing that there can be another Tony Pollard. And when I say that, it's just a massively successful guy that probably pushes between 15 and 20 touches a game. And then you're going to have Elliott probably go between 8 and 12, 8 and 14 touches a game. But the cost is low. Dowdle has the potential if it were to go old school Tony Pollard, to be a running back one in that offense. A lot of opportunities out there. He's already getting rave reviews. He's the most explosive back right now. Elliott's going to be probably more of that third down receiving. They really trust getting the ball in his hands and receiving side. But I think Dowdle's going to take a lot of the punishment early on, and he's going to just get a lot of the touches. So to get 15 to 20 touches from a post 40 ADP back in a high powered offense, just not there. I mean, also go through the numbers of the backs that he's around. Blake Corum's going ahead of him. Zach Charbonnet, you just made your case for Ken Walker. Chuba Hubbard, Antonio Gibson with the Patriots. Not only do we have guys that aren't even assured to be a number two in a full share system, you've also got garbage offenses. You've got Jaleel McLaughlin in Denver, Antonio Gibson in New England, Chuba Hubbard in Carolina. The tier of running backs in this range, it's like, and I'm looking at tier six on half PPR for Fantasy Pros, it's like Jerome Ford and then him. And Dowdle could be the number one in that offense. I think Dowdle screams league winner, and I'm trying to take him everywhere I can.
Yeah, I completely understand that take. Why don't you do your second RB2? Because I feel like it's a similar situation.
It's 100% a similar situation. He's ranked a little bit higher, and I'm going to Chase Brown. And I want to just, you know, reiterate, like, if Kyren Williams were back, I think Blake Corum would be, you know, a league, I think he could be a league winner. Trey Benson, if James Conner was out, like, you know, there are these backs that exist in that world.
Those J.K. Dobbins with ifs, though.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I'm pointing out. Like, you need a massive injury for them to take over. J.K. Dobbins was someone I kind of thought about in this, except it's a multi-back system. I think he's going to overperform. That's why I think he's a sleeper, but I don't think he's going to be like a league winner. So where I went with it is the same exact concept. Like you said, this is a running back in Chase Brown in Cincinnati that is seen in a two-back system. He's going to get as much work, most likely, as Zach Moss. The question is, and Zach Moss is going ahead of him, just like Elliott, is Zach Moss going to get primary down stuff? If he were to get, you know, first and second down and get all of goal line, that hurts. But Chase Brown is absolutely explosive. With the ball in his hands, he's going to be the primary receiving back. He'll be the third down back. I think he will also play first and second down. You've talked about some of the offense raving about him. I think this situation is more likely to be one of those series. The Niners would always do this, so I call it like that, where you would have a back that runs series one. And then, you know, defense, next series, that guy's the kind of primary back. I could see this being one of those series shares, but I wouldn't be shocked if Chase Brown is the first and second down back. And then in short yardage, Zach Moss comes in goal line situations. He does come in. But again, this is, if he's the number one there, we've seen what Joe Mixon is doing at 34 at ADP. That is barely a flex RB. I think he can be a mid RB2 with those big explosive plays. And I really think the receiving side could be the game changer. So Chase Brown, Rico Dowdle, those are my two league winning running backs.
The Chase Brown one too is for me is a really good one, because Zach Moss is a guy that has proven that he can't stay healthy. So even if Zach Moss was looking great, I think there's going to be opportunity for Chase Brown to finish out the year as the main back if he doesn't pick it up week one, which it already is looking like he's going to. So I like that. Look, I'm going to just admit I'm doing a full 180 on my next player. From
this is the guy I almost picked, by the season. Way. This is the guy good. That I was going to pick him, because if you think about what they can do, I just want to give this context. And I saw you had him and I was like, okay, Bogman's got him. But this is one I was going to pick over Chase Brown.
Yeah. I'm going to say Nick Chubb. And I've done a full 180. I thought Nick Chubb was getting cut before the season. Our boy Josh told me from the jump, there's no way that's happening. I was like, he's going to make a lot of money. He plays a position that is easily replaceable. They went out and they signed Deontay Foreman and Nyheim Hines. Like, they got guys in here in Cleveland in case Nick Chubb didn't work out coming off this knee injury, which I think is doing your due diligence if you're a franchise. But and it also affords them the ability to baby Nick Chubb. I have said a million times, and I'll stick by it for the most part, I don't want a guy that's hurt going into the season. But with Nick Chubb, that I think from what we've seen, this dude has kind of shown that he's a freak of nature. There's a couple guys every, you know, whatever, 20, 30 years that come by that I like, that Derrick Henry we're seeing is kind of like that. Adrian Peterson before, I mean, Adrian Peterson was still good even when he retired. As slow as he was still, you know, pushing the pile forward. So Nick Chubb seems to be that maybe he's one of those guys. Are they going to start him on the pup? Probably. I think you're probably going to not have him for the first month. So you do have to, he's a conditional draft pick, but once he gets back going, we know this offense is built around him, not just running backs and running the ball, specifically him, right? Yes, Deshaun Watson, maybe he looks better. He's looked like garbage so far from everything I've read.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Not great. Jameis Winston is the backup. They may change the whole deal, though. If Tyler Huntley has to come in here for Cleveland, they may just go and say, look, we have Chubb back. We have all these healthy running backs. Let's run the ball a ton. And I think Chubb specifically in that back stretch when you're in the playoffs, that's where you're going to want Chubb. And that is where he could potentially win a league for you as a guy that is gaining more and more touches every week when it's the most important for you. Again, conditional player. You have to make a plan to not have him for at least probably 6 weeks going in. That sucks. I don't like it. You have to have IR spots to draft him. You can't draft him with no IR spots. But if you have that option, grab and stash. I know a lot of players are going to get hurt. It's the NFL. You want those spots open, but Chubb is one of the rare exceptions that I will still draft him knowing he's not going to be good going in.
Yeah. And he went in the 9th round of my flex league draft. Still, and that was one. It is a little bit high, but I was even staring at him. And when you look at the players that are just kind of around, and you, again, you can always kind of project like, all right, if this happens, this guy gets hurt and blah, blah, blah. But it's just like Chubb. It's like, well, when he's back, it's just, if his legs are back normal, they're going to throw him right back into his usage. Jerome Ford is going to get some run. There's no way they're going to want to have Nick Chubb going back to, like, you know, 28 carry games and stuff like that. But just, he's a beast and he can be an RB1 every single week once he is healthy and fully returned. So that was why
use him as a closer late in games, right? Yeah. Like, especially in the winter, when he's running at his size and still with all of that power through those tired defenses late, even if that is his role, he's going to be ripping off huge chunks of yards in that role. So, yeah, I mean, Chubb is a guy I'm still excited about.
I'm with you on that one. All right, let's go over to our league-winning wide receivers. How about I'll start here. I think, and I'll do both of mine. And I think, sure, you know, yeah, you're going to get the logic on both of these, because I know you are signing off on one of these.
Of course.
Keon Coleman, who I did take in flex. He'll be very proud of me. I think I got him at wide receiver 4 or 5 in that.
Yeah.
And the reason behind this is, again, let's take a look at, like, you know, the consensus ranks, just as a matter of fact here. And you look at the players around. And you see a lot of players like, this is a good player. You know, this player could do this and they can move here as a number two and a wide receiver. You look at Keon Coleman, who has an ADP or an ECR 52 of wide receivers, and he's surrounded around the Rashid Shaheeds, Josh Palmers, Jacoby Myers. He's below Brian Thomas, but it's a guy that can be the number one wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills with the number one fantasy quarterback for people in Josh Allen. Now, Josh Allen has some targets, but I don't think you look at that team and you see massive, definitive players that, oh, Keon Coleman could never overpass. No, it's Cook, Kincaid. Last year, Stephon Diggs put up 159 targets, just under 1,200 yards, and still had 8 touchdowns. They're going to have to replace that in an offense. Part of that can go to Curtis Samuel. Part of that can be Kincaid jumping up. But that could also be Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman could be thrust right back into that Stephon Diggs role and be the number one primary wide receiver with an ECR outside the top 50. I am very much in on Keon Coleman because he is one of the few exceptions of players that you already can see that has the easiest path of being the number one wide receiver in this group. I mean, look, Romeo Doubs, there's 4 guys in there. Like, he could be a number one. It's tougher to get there. Curtis Samuel is going one spot ahead of him, but it's 2s across the board. And I think Keon Coleman, I wouldn't be surprised if Keon Coleman's a wide receiver too when this is all done. But, you know, if he can step into those shoes of Stephon Diggs, bam, he's the number one wide receiver. And then the other guy is Josh Downs, because I'll tell you, the injury, the fear has made Josh Downs go from probably the number one sleeper on everybody's list to kind of a nothing, a no-go for anybody because they're worried about what this injury is. But you saw the connection that was starting to happen with Anthony Richardson. Now you're getting a discount. And I think Josh Downs can put up wide receiver 3, maybe even 2. Not saying he's going to be the Puka in that offense because you have Michael Pittman, but I don't know if anybody else is really going to fully take away because they can play him in the slot. He might be kind of a version of Tank Dell in this offense once he's healthy, and he might still be there very early on in the year. So I think Josh Downs and Keon Coleman, for the cost of what you have to invest to where you can end up having them by the back half of the year, I think those two guys can be league winners, and those are my league winning wideouts.
Yeah, I mean, Nate Yonke on PFF, who does all like the snap counts and everything, he does in the preseason and the regular season, just so you know how many guys, you know, which guys are playing and how many snaps are playing and stuff. He broke down the Bills offense and he said his initial thought was, I think they're going to go with a tall guy with Shakir and Curtis Samuel on the field. Nope. Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir almost split that one spot and they had 2 of the big dudes on the field. And Keon Coleman and MVS a lot. So it looks like Keon Coleman is going to be close to a 100% snap guy from the jump. Now that's based on one preseason game. Things can change, obviously, but I'm all aboard. Everybody knows that I had him as one of my sleepers last week. And Josh Downs, kind of a similar situation to Nick Chubb, if we're being honest, like a guy that's probably going to start the year on the pup. You won't get him for a couple weeks. But once he comes back, if him and Richardson are working together, really good. I like both these options.
All right. What do you got?
My last two. I mean, an old priest and a young priest here. Give me Cooper Kupp. We've seen him do it before. He played all of last season at less than 100%. And we just forgot how good Cooper Kupp was, I think, because Puka Nacua had this enormous year. He's a younger talent. But this offense runs through Stafford. It doesn't run through Nacua or Kupp or Kyren. It runs through Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford is your main guy. Cooper Kupp is his main guy. Puka is awesome, but Puka's already having a couple of those injury things creep up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation, but the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This year. So Cooper, we've seen him do it before. He's going too late. He's looked too good. And now we're starting to hear the buzz. Oh, look, Cooper Kupp is making all kinds of plays in camp. Yeah, he was one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, even last year when he was playing at less than 100%. So Cooper Kupp is absolutely a guy that can win you a league. And I'm going to go with the young guy, Xavier Worthy from Texas. Look, Marquise Brown is down now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Rashee Rice is looking to probably get suspended at some point this season. I think Xavier Worthy is going to have an enormous year. I think everything we wanted from Sky Moore a couple years ago, we're going to get from Xavier Worthy because him and Patrick Mahomes already have this connection. We talk about Richardson and Downs. I think not enough has been made of Mahomes and Worthy and their connection so far in training camp in the preseason. I think it already works. I think he's the guy that they wanted. That's why they went out and got him. And I think he's going to be a big part of the Chiefs' success. And it's never bad to have a Chiefs weapon. So I like, Kupp and Worthy. Give them both to me.
Yeah, Kupp, I'm not sure Kupp to me personally belongs in this like league winning because he's so high cost, but there is an easy foreseeable like, oh, he's the number one overall wide receiver on the planet. Like that's where like I can buy it. The Worthy one, 100%. Just like my Keon Coleman thing, like Worthy could be the number one guy in this offense, the biggest explosive playmaker with Patrick Mahomes. I think it makes sense, but I also think we covered just a lot of different land in what can be league winners. So running it back. Oh yeah, go ahead.
I just want to ask you one question real quick. Would it be more surprising if Worthy was in like the Garrett Wilson, Puka Nacua, that type of group after the year, or Cooper Kupp was up with Tyreek and Jamar and
I think it's the worthy stuff. That's why I'm saying, like, I'm giving you that I get where you're going with it. I think it's, again, when I think of the parameters of like what a league winner is, I'm not sure I pick like a guy that goes in the second or third round as being like an absolute league winner. But of the few players that can really jump that, like, I do see Cooper Kupp. He could be the number one guy. You know, Puka's had some weird injury stuff. We've seen Kupp literally do it before. He's literally done it before. But he's just like,
he's going at the end of the third, 33 right now. And he might be a top five guy at the end of the year. That's why I call him a league winner.
But we covered a lot of space on the different types of guys that can be league winners. Bogman's again, Caleb Williams, Ken Walker, Nick Chubb, Cooper Kupp, and Xavier Worthy. Mine, Justin Fields, Rico Dowdle, Chase Brown, Keon Coleman, and Josh Downs. Let's track these. Let's see what it looks like at the end of the year so we can come back and see, were these guys actually league winners? Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll just do a quick look, if anybody cares about it, on where we're actually putting our money is our in our mouth. Money where our mouth is? That's what it is. Money where our mouth is. You don't eat money. You don't eat unless it's the chocolate, little chocolate coins. We'll put our money where our mouth is in an actual draft, the league draft. This was my flex league, and we'll do a little breakdown after this.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh! All right, looking at the flex drafts, there's been a bunch that's gone on. I guess this was on SiriusXM, but I wasn't interesting enough to be called, so I didn't even know that it was where other people were talking about their leagues. But
real quick, before we start this, there's two things I got to say. Number one, your cliches are getting worse. I don't know how this is happening. You're like, we're going to put the money in the mattress. What is it? Where are we going with this? And the other thing is, Tyrone Tracy already is not hurt as we thought he was. So at least we have a little bit of that going. He had an air cast. They didn't take him to the hospital. He's already in team meetings.
Yeah, I saw that report. It good
seems
news.
Like disaster averted in terms of Tyrone Tracy.
So I have Devin Singletary, like, though, so I don't really care about this news.
So one Tyrone Tracy is worth eight in the bush, right? So there you go.
It's exactly. Yeah, don't look a Tyrone Tracy in the mouth is what they say.
Tyrone Tracy.
This is the setup here. I don't know everybody, I don't think. Let's see if I can get it. But this is the Flex League. It's a single quarterback, half PPR, 14 team. And the other caveat to it, so obviously it is quarterback, two running back, three wide receiver. There's a flex spot. And then there is a flex tight end spot. So you actually don't have to roster a tight end. You can put a wide receiver in that. So that's that. And then bench, no kicker, no defense here. Steve Gardner from USA Today with the number one overall pick. Stepmom Lauren, I don't know who this is at number three. I believe Corey Parsons is at four. I don't know who five is. My boy Paul Spohr, the RotoWare dude at seven. I'm at eight. Michael Fabiano at nine. Jody Smith at 10. Mike Randall, I think, is at 11. Joe Dolan is at 12. I don't know who. That might be Eric Young, who's at 13. And I don't remember who 14 was. But at the eighth pick, Karen Valenzuela. I think that's what it is. I just don't know if I'm saying her name correctly.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
in this league.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. These are the 14 people with the eight spot. It started pretty chalk. Christian McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase. Justin Jefferson was still out there, and then Spohr and RotoWare went Bijan and Brees and Boggs. I was gifted Justin Jefferson. And I was committed to, like, especially when the RotoWare guy was up, I was like, oh, I'm getting Brees or Justin Jefferson. Like, that's just how it is. I had actually done, funny enough, that night, I was just kind of messing around and having some fun. I was on Fantasy Pros, the draft wizard, because what I was able to do, I literally, like, we talk about it a lot and promo it, but I did it. I literally imported this league, and it actually had insights to four people who had connected with Fantasy Pro. So it was giving me some insights on what they do. I put my draft spot in and I just ran a bunch of mocks because I did like probably five in like 25 minutes or something. And not once did Justin Jefferson ever fall to me at eight. I just want to point out that's the craziness. It was pretty much always like Bijan or Brees for me. And it built my teams around this. But I had kind of had this thing in the back of my head, you know, if I can get Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson or Amon-Ra, one of those three, I would do it. But only specifically Jefferson, I think, would I have taken over those running backs. But I had kind of prepared for it. But so what do you think? The rest of the round, by the way, A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Isaiah Pacheco went 11 overall. Jonathan Taylor, Gibbs, and Puka Nacua. What do you think about Justin Jefferson at eight there?
I think at eight, you take whoever falls to you. And I think the top eight is a very clear tier. And Justin Jefferson was the guy that fell. A lot of times it's Amon-Ra St. Brown. A lot of times it's Bijan or Bree, somebody like that. So you took the guy that fell. You got the best value in. You get the highest pick coming back. I like that spot. So
yeah, and
I thought you did real good.
I really wanted Kyren Williams. He was who I was focused on. Kyren ended up going to Mike Randall, who ended up getting Pacheco and Kyren Williams, which is interesting. Also, I thought this is a little bit fascinating, and maybe it was just like, duh, this is going to happen. But in an industry league, three of the 14 teams, Boggs, were double running backs. There's a part of me that's just like industry people hate doing it. But three different teams.
14, though, makes a difference. There's less available at the end, for sure.
That's what also happened with quarterbacks. So coming back around, Kyren didn't fall to me, but Derrick Henry did. And I have them next to each other. So I started off Justin Jefferson and Derrick Henry and immediately went into Slack and posted to you and Joe, because I know you and Joe would love and sign off on that.
Hell yes. Right? That's all a right. Great start. Amazing start.
So then, just a couple of the other things, and we'll just look at the full team. Brandon Ayuk fell. These are players that went over Ayuk. Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, Devonta Smith, DK Metcalf, Michael Pittman. I just couldn't help myself, but I was really annoyed because I wanted Malik Nabers. I almost wanted Ayuk to go and DJ Moore. I needed them both to be off the board. So I could have just said, I'm taking Malik Nabers. I didn't take him, hoping he would come back. He went four picks later to Joe Dolan. Joe Dolan was kind of my enemy this whole time. He kept taking players that I wanted. Another fascinating thing that happened in the third round, Boggs, Rashee Rice was the 11th pick. Again, Mike Randall was just living in his world. Rashee Rice, a third round pick. I don't think I've seen that in many things we've done.
I mean, where would Rashee go if there was no suspension? None.
It's probably, I mean, and that's to be fair. And I think that's what,
Randall it's much was, higher than the third.
I think that's what he was assuming. Oh, you think higher right. than the third?
Well, if there was no suspension for sure, I would take him over Waddle. I'd probably take him over Nico. I'd take him over Debo. Yeah, you're the number one wide receiver on the Chiefs, dude. Like, yeah, you know, but I think he's going to miss six games. And I think it's going to be late in the season when you need him. So I probably won't have too much investment in Rashee Rice. So.
Coming back around in the fourth round, I was looking at Zay Flowers and T. Higgins. They both were the first two of the three picks. Joe Dolan again took Higgins. I was kind of looking at your boy Ken Walker. He went one pick ahead of me, so I went with a third wide receiver in Amari Cooper. I got into the mid fourth. Came back. So then this interesting thing happened after that. Quarterbacks galore. You can see you're looking at the screen. It was five of the next seven picks in this round were all quarterbacks. Boom, boom, boom. I could have taken Mahomes or Hurts. Boom, 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 boom. Then the fifth round starts up, and that was where Jaden Daniels went, and Joe Burrow was on the board still. So when it came back to me, the eighth pick in the fifth round, I took Joe Burrow. Like, if Joe Burrow was gone, I was just committed to be the full-on late quarterback guy. I just felt that he was too good of a value, and everybody behind me needed a quarterback. So I took Joe Burrow. He ended up having two more quarterbacks go. Followed that up, and then I'll just do the full roster construction. I ended up getting Zamir White, Keon Coleman, Devin Singletary in the eighth, Devontae Wicks in the ninth, Rico Dowdle in the 10th, Troy Franklin. I took Matthew Stafford. Double quarterbacks went here because it's 14-team league. Javon Baker, and I took Alexander Mattison at the end of the draft just to kind of protect a little bit of my Zamir White pick. So the actual construction of the team is Joe Burrow, quarterback. My starting running backs are Derrick Henry, Zamir White. My starting wideouts are Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper. My flex is actually Devin Singletary. And then my wide receiver tight end flex is Keon Coleman. And then on the bench, I've got Dontavian Wicks, Rico Dowdle, Troy Franklin, Stafford, Javon Baker, and Alexander Mattison. So yeah, let's hear some thoughts. And then I'll tell you, I did get some insights on this from
my fans. Really like this team. I think you did a great job, especially not needing a tight end. I thought was outstanding. I thought, you know, Laporta going as high as he did in a league where without tight ends, I thought was too much, right?
Yeah, Spore took him like mid second round after I took Derrick Henry. And I think maybe that was
I wonder if that
was an oversight, maybe because you don't need the tight ends. But I don't know. Yeah, you're to your point. He is a Lions fan.
The only thing that I question when I look at your roster at all is Franklin and Baker on the bench. And if that's the question, then you're doing really good too.
But so like, now here's the one thing to throw out to you, because I agree with you on that. Those are not like the best, but those are wide receiver 6 and 7. Because remember, wide receiver 4 is Keon Coleman and 5 is Wicks. Because you said Wicks, Franklin and Baker. So I've also got Dowdle and Devin Singletary to flow in. So really, like, my first bench wide receiver technically is Wicks.
And I mean, who else is out there? You probably have to grab in a sash in a 4-team a little bit more. So that it might be fine. I would have to know who's on the wire.
There's not much really like Malachi Corley, Zay Jones, Kendrick Bourne, Josh Reynolds. That's about the
maybe Burks. Josh Reynolds over Troy Franklin, just because it seems like Josh Reynolds is going to start and maybe Troy Franklin won't. But Marvin Mims could start, right? All we know is Sutton is one. So Franklin is something at some point. Baker has been pretty low on the depth chart, but they just cut Juju. So, and he's been making plays in camp still. So that's it. I mean, this is a really good team, and I'm seeing on Fantasy Pros, you got a really good grade here.
They really liked it. 95 out of 100. And look at the expert one. Derek Brown gave me a 98. Ooh. Erickson gave me a 98. Pizapia gave me a 98. And Pat gave me a 94. I love how I'm not on there either. That's cool though. Not an expert. But 95 out of 100. And here were my insights. I was not first. I was third in projections. Whoever the it's one of the guys, I don't know who they are, because they have like a fun name, you know, not their name. So I'm not like trying to be shade. I literally don't know. They're called Peakton High School. It looks like it's a, I mean, by how they're spelling school, it could have been Thor. I have no idea. I couldn't tell who it was. They projected number one. My buddy Steve Gardner, our buddy, it was funny. I was texting with him. He's like, how do you get the that analysis after? Because he thought it was a part of Sleeper. I'm like, nah, Sleeper doesn't have any analysis for you. This is Fantasy Pros. And I told him, I'm like, you were number two. I was number three. Fabiano was 4. Ken Cashman, who's the RotoWare guy, was 5. Jody Smith was 6. John Legeza was 7. I didn't even realize John was in there. So that's the top half. Interesting. They hate it. Mike Randall, who kind of did his own thing a little bit,
right,
got the worst grade. But like, there's big stuff that could happen for his team.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Insights.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
The things that matter, like they said, if I hadn't taken Joe Burrow and went Chris Godwin for my fourth wide receiver, I would have ranked higher. Yeah, maybe, because then maybe I could have gotten Dax later. That's something to think about. They love Dowdle, though. Dowdle is currently the number one consensus sleeper on Fantasy Pros running back. And Dontavian Wicks is the number three consensus sleeper wide receiver. That's a new thing that they've got, is sleeper ranks. They love Devin Singletary as a steal. They did not like Burrow. They also didn't like Bill Franklin. And Bill Enright of Sports Illustrated.
Troy Franklin.
Sorry, I was looking at Bill's name. Bill Enright of Sports Illustrated liked mine the most. But check this out. Experts, he was number one. Steve Pintado was number two. Erickson was number three. And look who was number four, Boggs.
You like your team a little bit less than Erickson did, which is hilarious. And look who hated your team.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know that's going to be the fun one. But 98s and then 197 were my loves. This is the best scored team I've put together, at least from this standpoint. And it's funny that Erickson was up here, because Debro, I thought, rated me a little bit higher. But Kyle Richardson, myself, Erickson, Bill Enright, who hated the hate. It's just funny because it's a longtime ITL character. Raju Byfield hated me, absolutely hated me. He gave me a D. Hated Jefferson, hated Henry, hated Cooper, Joe Serpico, Nick Botaford, Ryan Weiss, and Dave Klug all did not like me. Though my lowest grade was a D, the rest were Cs. I think this is like, I'm happy with this construction. And the fear around players, I thought, got me a couple spots. There were running back trends. Running backs actually went heavy to start, and that benefited me a little bit on the wide receivers. So I think I'm in a pretty good spot, and you like the team. I don't know I could have put up my draft board if there's something else I should have done. Is there anybody you think I should have targeted in this format that maybe I failed on? I mean, I know that, no. Like, I know you would say like Ken Walker and stuff, like that's a guy you want.
Well, but sure. I want Ken Walker. You want a pick ahead of you. What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot you can do.
Let me do this right here. Then look at this, look at the board here. So here's me. Any guys, anything like you would have done different in a certain round?
I mean,
round?
The only thing that I would have done differently, if I'm, yeah, okay, so I'm going the right way here, is where you took Ayuk, maybe I take DJ Moore. You know, just,
yeah.
If Ayuk ends up in Pittsburgh, his value is so much lower than it is in San Francisco. So I think that is probably the move I would have done. Looking at all of these, but I love the value on Burrow. And I know FP doesn't like Burrow. He's kind of, they love Richardson, they hate Burrow. If that's like one overall QB thing that's happening at FP, it's that one. So, yeah. But
I got him around later.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was great. And over Jaden Daniels, I love Jaden Daniels. It's so much upside. I understand taking him, but dude, give me Joe Burrow at his cost.
I thought one day you might not have liked was in the sixth round. I took Zamir White over Najee Harris, who went later in the sixth round.
I mean, you know, I don't like it. I would have taken Najee, but I understand it. Like, and Zamir had 11 of the first of the 14 snaps with the starters. So it looks initially, this is not, you know, preseason doesn't mean much once we get there. But initially, our first looks, the information available to us, Zamir is going to have a heavy workload. So Zamir is, you know, the people that think that that's going to happen, they're proving the point right now. So Zamir could be huge.
The only other ones I took Keon Coleman. I really was thinking about Javonte Williams, and he went the next pick. That's when that was in the seventh round I kind of looked at. But, you know, like Devin Singletary in the eighth, I thought was kind of chalky. And I wanted Jerome Ford in the ninth, but he went, also Brock Bowers and Chubb. So that's where I pivoted to Wicks, because you could see we started to have this wide receiver thing happen. Rounds 9 through 11 were super heavy wide receiver, where those runs were going on. So, okay. So I was just curious if there were any, like, looking at my picks, if there's anything
different. The only thing is maybe having two shots at the bottom in Franklin and Baker. But again, if that's the issue with your team is really effing good.
You know, the one I kicked myself about, I'll tell you right here. It was round 11. I was thinking about Jaleel McLaughlin, but I was like, I got to get a wide receiver. And I was sitting big on Ricky Pearsall because of the trade rumors. I saw that going around and I thought maybe I could get Pearsall coming back. And there's just something about taking Franklin, because Franklin, you know, there have been rumors about Cortland Sutton being traded. Like, I just, something about him being a two or a one.
Well, he's got Bo Nix too. I mean, Bo Nix was his college QB.
So kicking myself for not taking Pearsall because he went four picks later, Joe Dolan again.
I would have been more upset that I didn't get Vidal or McLaughlin. And then, you know, maybe take whoever falls back at wide receiver. I mean, Tolbert's having a, you know, good push here. Who else went after him? Man, there really aren't. DJ Chark, I think, was a really good value in the second to last round there. So whatever. I mean, this is really nitpicking.
I had a lot of stuff fall the way I wanted it to, but that Pearsall one where I was like, damn it. And like I said, Dolan was in my craw the whole damn time, dude. Pearsall, he took Dobbins when I wanted him. I was looking at Deontay Johnson. And he ended up taking, you know, I was just like five different picks. He took Neighbors, he took Deontay, he took Higgins, he took Pure. It was really all the wide receivers and Dobbins. So that killed me on a couple spots. But, you know, that's, hey, Joe Dolan's, he's a dude. He does those things. So there you go. That was my flex league. We'll see, projected third. So we'll see if that ends up benefiting me. And I really do get there, but projected third. I got a pretty good lineup. And yours is coming up on Thursday, I believe, right?
Thursday. Yep. Got to. Maybe
you'll be invited
early
on SiriusXM.
To do. I won't go. it'll be too early for me. So I have to wake up early to do my draft. But just at the end of the show here, no Ayuk resolution, but nope. Tyrone Tracy, low ankle sprain. Not a big deal at all. Totally fine. This is what I talked about last offseason. They cart everybody off, minor injuries or not. You got a hangnail, you get a cart. So no need to panic. The Twitter warriors had me hyperventilating for a second.
They get concerned, but we'll try to follow up on the rest. God knows when the Ayuk thing gets settled, but we've talked at it at nauseam, but it seems like it is Niners or Steelers or bust at this point. It is one of those two. So you kind of know where you're at. Coming up later in the week, we got a mock draft. I don't believe I'm going to be on that episode.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva. What's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
What's up, friendos, and welcome into the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast to end out your week. August 15th as we're recording this, the August 16th episode-ish. No Scott Bogman today. He's been kicked to the curb. We want no Bogman in this house. Just scheduling stuff. But I couldn't think of a better person to do a show with who I'm doing a show with at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. He is Joe Arrico, who you can catch on Fantasy Pros on Leading Off with me from time to time, plus his brand new project on the Old Man Squad. Joe Arrico, 99 on the Twitter. Joe, what's up, buddy?
I think I can officially say that we're co-hosts at this point, man. It's
pretty
been
much.
It's been great to work with you all the time, you know, editing the shows behind the scenes and hosting them. Fantasy Pros has been great. You and Boggs have been just fantastic, and it's always great when we get to do shows together, which is pretty regular at this point.
Yeah, no, you're getting into the squad. I have there's like a collection of people that I do a lot of shows with, and Bogman's number one, Pizapia is number two, and then there's like a secondary tier, and it's been like Bubba, you are now into that. You know, some of the other Fantasy Pros guys, Derek Brown and stuff, I'm doing a lot with, but you are in that, excuse me, you are in that rotation. And you can catch Joe over on the 90 Feet From Home podcast, which is on our dear mutual friend, Dan Bespris, new network, the Old Man Squad Network. And Joe, like I said, you can catch him on Leading Off with me. We are going to be going through a couple things. We've got some pickups for the week that I just want to talk about some guys that are under 50% owned that have been kind of lighting it up. We've got two start pitchers for next week to kind of see how that's going. I will say I'm always jarred by Thursdays, man. Like half of the games are done. It's always some garbage schedule that's going on today. But baseball unloaded this new theory. At some point, baseball's going to stop tinkering, Joe. I don't know. I'm down for some of the tinkering. And I will be honest with you. This new thing, I'm not like you said off air, and you're more than welcome to be like this. You're like, this is really stupid. in theory, it is stupid. And what baseball's talking about in their ever changing quest to make sure that this game is not the same year in and year out. It's like Madden, you know, it's like a video game every single year that is changing. It's like, why do we do this? They're talking about implementing a 6-inning minimum starting pitcher rule for baseball. So I have some of the details on the obvious questions, but what made you immediately go, this is so stupid?
Because they're trying to put restrictions on the game that just shouldn't be on the game, that you shouldn't have to throw at least 6 innings. I think everything is done nowadays with an eye towards just shortening everything, fewer mound visits, fewer bullpen changes. So they want to save a few minutes here and there. But, you know, we see so many pitchers get hurt. We've seen this year just an incredible amount of injuries. You're going to tell me that these guys, like, let's use Garrett Crochet as an example. He's at this point of the season where they need to kind of baby him or else they're really starting to push the injury risk. You're telling this guy that, nope, you got to throw 6 innings every time, no matter what happens. Is there a pitch restriction on that? Like, what if we're at 132 pitches after 5 innings because he just has no command?
Okay,
what
happens so then? Is there a restriction there? There is. So in this article that's on ESPN, there are 3 restrictions that are being talked about that would be added to this, the most obvious blatant ones. And it's immediately, because when I heard this rule, I'm like, what? Like, how are you going to do this? Because like, what's going to happen here? Well, they've already covered this. So the idea is if a pitcher has hit the 100 pitch marker, they could be gone before 6. If they have given up more than 4 earned runs, they can be gone before 6. And if they're injured, they can be. I actually think all of those are reasonable in the grand scope of things. The only thing that it doesn't fix is like a couple small things. When a guy has a really bad specific inning, here's an example. Cole Reagans, I think it was Cole Reagans this year, had like a 50 plus pitch inning. And Tanner Gordon yesterday with the Rockies was getting obliterated 2 days ago against the Diamondbacks and had like a 42 pitch inning. Like, people don't want pitchers to be stuck in an inning where they have gone 30. It's not good for arm health and everything like that. And the idea behind this, what baseball is trying to promote, is that, okay, we want to put the emphasis back on starting pitching. We want to put the emphasis on development of the health and all of that stuff. What they're really also saying is we're tired of openers and we're tired of the devaluation of pitching in general and tired of teams taking advantage of it. So, like, I think in theory, this idea is stupid, especially to force players to go 6, which, by the way,